Okay. So I'd like to, so maybe we can take a round of questions, but I guess, you know, maybe to shape some of our thoughts. We also drew up a list of general questions or ideas that we wanted to walk through, and I was taking notes. And so one of the common themes that keeps coming up is the relation to off-campus and or community or, you know, larger things. You know, Daniel talked about the high school organizing project. Susie talked about liberated zones at Baruch. You know, Orlando talked about the importance of the Black Panther Collective and Baruch's BSU in terms of being, you know, very early radicalizing or consciousness-raising forces. Ditto John being pulled into the Baruch meeting while he was at SBA. And, you know, Terry, you know, your experience of going to the BRC meeting and critical resistance and running into SLAM people there. So maybe that's one thing to think about. Second thing, which was touched on a little bit less, although we did flag that as something that we wanted to try to work through, was, you know, the relationship of the relationship of student movements, or I guess more specifically student organizations to to institutional power. I guess most specifically in Hunter at taking over student government, and, you know, us sort of deciding that we didn't necessarily want to do that. And yeah.
Should we also have a look around? Just ask folks.
Sure. Why don't we do that now? What questions came up? Ellen.
We're organizing now to try to change the education system in the city, and we know that if the students at the high school level could really get mobilized and they could, walk out. They would have a lot of power. I'm really interested in your high school organizing and any ideas to how the CUNY system, CUNY radical student groups can reach down again, because the Bloomberg administration is so much more subtle than the Giuliani administration, but they're more lethal. And now, yesterday we found out there's a dumb Bloomberg coming out of this third term has complicated everything, and the council is just going along as sheep. So we think it's a critical moment now, and we're just wanting to make those connections between CUNY radical students and high school kids.
Any other questions?
I'm curious a little bit about the kind of week to week, organizing. Sort of heard about some of the high points and what was it like, kind of on a day-to-day level, and then also kind of the, ideological diversity within the organization. How did that play out, anarchists, Leninists, nationalists,
That last one's a big question.
Any other questions? Actually, how about I take your question if somebody wants to take
Steve.
Steve, and
I guess I was wondering, getting on with the turnover, every year, new students, and especially if come from the two-year schools, so it seems like, it's just a high turnover. Do you have a an outreach to the new students? Do you get on right away in September, is to really outreach and bring people in that are interested in being active?
I'm just concerned about three things. First of all, as he pointed out, the continuity issue, and that links to Ellen's statement about organizing high school students. I'm not even as much concerned about walkouts as I am about them learning truth. And I know there's no reading going on of any of the classic, let alone political classics. So I am curious about how we can make inroads to have you adopt high school. And if you adopt a high school, you're going to have an orientation class because they'll want to come to the college of the people that cared about them. It's like, it's a radical version of this gear up program that they have, allegedly have in the high schools. That's number one. I'm also concerned with the governance issue, not just Bloomberg having another term, but the continuance of the mayoral control over the schools. That's a biggie. Because, as you know, cats don't educate mice. They eat them. Mm-hmm. And so I see that as a very big issue. Our students have no concept of democracy, let alone political organizing. They know absolutely nothing, and that's deliberate. And I think this election shows that. And the last point I have a concern with, it may not be your concern, but since, as I think one of the gentlemen said in the workshop yesterday, since I can't go underground anymore, I'm concerned with how much damage we can do above ground. And within the Green Party, there's a black radical man by the name of Asa Gordon. And he has a strategy. It's legal, it's on the books, for dismembering the electoral process in America, totally undermining it, and it's legal. And he's taking a court case now to attack the political party structure so that it's not just a two-party dictatorship anymore. And while I can understand why you would not care about that, because I have always hated the American political party system since I could breathe and understood the word Dixiecrat, I still see this as a good strategy for people who want to fight above ground. And I see this as something where if you politicize the elders in your community about this strategy, it's another way of winning. And lastly, I just want to commend you because, as Frederick Douglass said, power only concedes to power. So every time you did whatever you did on campus, you built a power base that, that challenged the giant. And I just commend you for that.
So what... Well, first of all, thank you. So why don't we take that that order of questions, and I'll start with the high school program, because that's something that I was involved in from the very beginning. We had, but when SLAM got into student government, it was as a radical. I actually saw it as like a tactic, and I thought we were going to be out of student government very soon. Actually, some of the people, Chris Day was one of the major initiators, he's not here, of pulling that platform, the clubs together. He actually knew more of the people on campus, so he kind of like helped put the slate together, as well as other people wanted to be, part of the slate. So once we took student government over, we had this resource, and we had access to financing. So we were trying to figure out. We were outreached to by radical high school teachers, some of whom went on to form an organization called NICOR. I don't know if you're familiar with that. So Herm, okay, I'm using his nickname. Herm was the teacher that, he was the one teacher that I met at one of our rallies. We're going down, and then he was coming down with the students, and we were at a pit stop, and he's looking at my shirt, he likes it, and we get into this whole, conversation. He's like, oh, I'm in the LES, why don't you come by and, talk to my students or something. So I went by and said, wow, this is a really good process. Why don't we try to do something more institutional? Let's create a program. And so we started an exchange program with the Lower East Side High School Lower East Side Community High School, right? And that was our first, that's where we started to talk about this project within SLAM. We're like, look, we need to develop ties. We're talking about, keep admissions open. We need to, we need to do it figuratively. Like, we need to start dragging these kids into college and, showing them the ropes and, and what was ironic was that a lot of those kids ended up going to elite universities. One of my favorite students,
They target them.
Right. It's a total fragmentation.
They know what they're looking
at. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes. And
so your root in was like NICOR, the radical teachers.
Right. It was the earliest. It was like the preformative, you know, stage of NICOR, where you had these radical high school student teachers that were also seeking each other out within the high school system, and we, you know, saw them as natural allies. Like, you know, and so we totally bonded. And the good thing is that they actually went on and ended up creating NICOR later on, you know, which was a good thing because they found their own organizational base. But the whole idea about trying to create a connection with the high schools was what the high school organizing project and the program came to be. And it was one of our most successful programs. Do you have the poetry? I noticed you had the, that was one of the things, I'm not sure if you passed around,
yeah,
the light blue.
Can that rehappen now?
I don't think.
Well, actually, yes. And just to kind of like make kind of segue, does anybody have any?
I have one at home. There's a box somewhere. What's
I thought I saw it in your folder.
I'm sorry, which one are we talking about?
I'm sorry.
There should be a box somewhere.
No, it's right here.
Oh, okay.
Here we go. I'm sorry.
Oh, there it is.
Oh, this That's is one of our favorite. Oh. So what the high school organizing program was. What it developed into was basically an internship of different disciplines. So what we utilized was art and the arts. You know, so we had creative writing, which Susie was a big part of. And these are some of your students, right? And they wrote these amazing, amazing like poems. It's just like totally like blows your mind. And then we had an internship for graphic design, which I was a part of. That was kind of complicated because I needed more. More resources, but then we had one for drama, then we had one for craft, and then there was creative writing, and it was a program that we worked out. We had volunteers coming in from all types of different nonprofits, like giving their volunteer time, working with kids on video, right? That was the other video work and etc. Artwork, you know, drama. And at the end of the semester, we ended up having a show. So all of these different internships would actually, you know, kind of like coincide and would culminate in a show at the end of the semester, which was not only for the students, but for the parents. So mm-hmm. we were trying to add a whole intergenerational aspect yeah. on top of having an community yeah. campus aspect.
And so this happened on campus.
Yes, I mean, we were utilizing all our entire resources. I mean, like, not entire, but, you know, like, and this is on top of organizing with the clubs and, you know, like, doing daily outreach, doing campus events, you know, like, busing, you know, down buses, you know, for Mumia against, you know, police brutality, you know. So all of this is going on at the same time, you know, but this was like, I would have to say this was like our like, heart, because we kept on, you know, working with these young people and kind of like passing around. And we really wanted to put into practice. Like, when we say keep admissions open, we really meant it. Like, we were going to bring these kids into CUNY and, you know, and into colleges. So, now, how can this happen again? I just want to kind of quickly, and maybe Terry can also talk about it. Terry is the Brooklyn organizer. And I know he talked with Betty a little bit, because Betty's at Mega Evers. About starting up a new high school program, a youth program. So you can talk a little bit more about that, but let's end it there on that question.
Who's the youth one? Yeah. Oh, great.
So we're not in school, but we're still trying to figure out how to replicate some of these yeah. programs that we were able to do.
I just want to mention yesterday the Education for Liberation Network pulled together a group of schools that identify as social justice schools. And so NICOR was there, and a lot of El Puente and a lot of other schools. So there is movement. We just have to make all these connections.
We're more than happy to just even like advise, because it's, you know,
great.
We just work in different kinds of jobs. But Terry's very well situated, and hopefully if I get a job there too, we'll make some.
So, Orlando was
going to
address somebody's question.
I guess one of the things in reference to the electoral piece, I guess in our time organizing at SLAM and the other groups,
around us, we actually had a talk before about it, you know, the individuals that came out of NYFERC and their contributions in joining SLAM, but post-SLAM, with the hip-hop convention experience, it brought questions, like strategic questions that probably possibilities that, you know, people go back in time. You know, like what if the 91 crew, 85 crew had electoral proponents? What if we also, you know, getting 20,000 people out there in the city hall also registered 20,000 people? And, like, there was a particular point, I think in 89, as an example, or was it 91, when Giuliani first got into office, it was like 89, 91, and he had defeated Dinkins by an extremely slim margin. Like, it was a very slim margin, like, and also controversial, too, because it also some of the questions that are national now about access to voting. Like, people in Harlem, you know, to this day still talk about the police shutting down the voter registration booths earlier, you know, in uptown, in places where they don't think it's would have got votes, right? And that was how Giuliani got into office. You know, it's like, maybe it was like 91. And, you know, with that type of, you know, slim margin of win or victory in a lot of elections, what kind of effect, like, could have the 89, 91 crew, they just infected that as part of their strategy, possibly could have had, without divorcing themselves from what they were already doing, could have had. So, you know, and that's part of the discussion about democracy, like, you know, ultimately, the discussion about open admissions is a democratic discussion about access to the university for everyone, and everybody reaping the benefits of that education for their livelihood and so on and so forth. And even Charles Barron had a particular strategy when he was trying to run for mayor in 94, where he felt CUNY was a particular key electoral proponent for his victory. You put the numbers, the demographic, the needs, and what he felt politically he was trying to address, along with labor rank and file, along with the churches, along with the housing, and so on and so forth. So it was in hindsight, I was thinking, like, what if we employed that more? Like, in Baruch, we employed it more as a club, voter registration, but not necessarily endorsing candidates. And that's particularly because we were situated where we were right next to the Community Service Society on 23rd Street, and a lot of us would work for Richie Perez. And Richie had a very clear strategy where it's like, well, none of y'all gonna go into City Hall and actually take it over and actually kick Giuliani out. You know, the way he's gonna be taken down is electorally. You know, but at the same time, still do your service programs, still do your radical education. And that always stuck with us. You know, what can we exhaust above ground while still doing the radical work? You know, how do we exhaust above ground work to its fullest so that the other work that we're educated for can become the next stage?
Susie, do you want to take a crack at Jeff's?
Steve's
day-to-day organizing.
Oh boy, I don't know.
Tasks.
And you had a question about the ideologies, the soup.
I was talking with Kazembe recently, and he was talking about how, I wonder if I have my notes from that conversation, just about how people, we had really different ideas about the future, but we were like, it was a liberatory politics, everyone, but it was like, people who had grown up in a Puerto Rican independentista struggle, people who were black nationalists, people who were anti-Zionists, people who were anarchists, like myself, communists, a lot of things I might be missing. But we were very, very, like
you know, passionate about those beliefs. But somebody was talking about how we would like stay up really late arguing into the night about this stuff, and that then we would go out in the streets and we would fight. And I know that I relied on people, like people had various strengths. Like, I mean, I think for me being an anarchist, I'll just speak maybe from my own experience now, so that might be slightly biased. But like, I mean, maybe my strength was that I'm a good listener. I'm always looking out for participatory democracy, stuff like that. But I'm thinking about like some of the Maoists who were really good at street tactical. I think that there are anarchists who are really good at that too, but I'm just not. I don't know. I guess I'm just trying to say we brought our strengths. And I was willing, you know, like the anarchist movement or community is not known for being friendly or kind or even listening to people from communist background. I personally learned a lot and was like, great, you know, I don't know which way to run right now. Can you tell me which way to run? The police are over there. Should we go uptown, downtown? I mean, basically, I would listen to someone tell me which way to run, which I think was just speaks to the level of trust that we have built basically on the solid work we were doing day in, day out, like you were talking about, like basically agitating, like as we were saying, educate, agitate, organize. And that was, we saw each other doing that good work, and that's where you build the trust.
And I just wanted to add that, I mean, that was something specific that we set up. You know, we didn't want to have some kind of party line. And while we had that tension, you know, we were like, look, we're all friends. You know, we can argue and debate till, you know, we're red in the face. But we can have a space for that. Mm-hmm. But let's do the work together. You know, and bring everybody's strengths together.
Yes.
And it was just like one of the most liberatory experiences. And of course, you know, we would always have run-ins with like, you know, like groups that were organized, had papers, and you know, would come in and, you know, and we're like, we're not anti, you know, we're not anti-communist, we're not anti-socialist, we're not anti-anarchist or anything, you know, but we, let's base it on something real and substantial. Let's base it on our work, you know, and let that be our operational unity, you know, and then we could have our discussions, we can have our study groups, we can have our, you know, but let the work guide us, you know, and it'll even sharpen your ideas about what you think.
That's right.
Excuse me,
yeah.
The next workshop is outside, or should we be wrapping up here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Last question.
Well, it's just about organizing, about the, you know, filling with continuity of providing continuity of the organization in a like student, like a college setting where there's a lot of turnover, and how to continue the education,
right,
and organizing.
I just wanted to throw one thought out to you before we disperse. Again, I apologize for being late. New York City is developing a homeless population that's off the charts. And this population, they have children. They especially have young people. And this is the cannon fodder for the prison system, as you know. What if you were going to select a school, I would suggest you target a school with either a large foster care population or a population of children that live, whose families live in shelters.
Mm-hmm.
For two reasons. We've got to get to them before they are destroyed totally, and either think they have no choice but either to go into the army or to become police or to become prison. Those are their three choices, and we need them. And the other reason is you need soldiers, because as the repression increases, the people who have opportunities to go to college are going to cop out on you. Because this Homeland Security legislation is very real.
Thank you, everybody, for this wonderful
information. It's wonderful, really. It's good to know you're here.
And just lastly,
you have a question.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say, you know, you're to answer your question, I just wanted to say that we're consistently trying to develop mechanisms. Like, this is part of an oral history project that we're trying to record so that we could pass this stuff on. So you missed the beginning, but in part, This was last minute, you know, it's pulled together, you know, at the last minute, but it's as much for us as it is for y'all, you know. So we wanted to share, but we also wanted to reflect and reassess the work that we did and try to record this and pass it on to other generations coming up. But still, you know, like, we're still involved in the process of trying to help develop organizations, which is why we're here at the CUNY Social Forum. We're really, you know, excited about all the people who made this possible, and we really want to work in whatever way possible with the organizers of this conference, you know, in a meaningful manner to build organization. Yeah, so I don't know if that helps.
No.